Irreducible Howard by Elizabeth Heffern.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are here to witness the most mundane and astounding event in the universe. The birth, life, and death of one Howard Alphonse Gauthenecht.
Little fetal Howard, baby, come on now. Stop clinging. It's time for your big splashy entrance.
Yeah, sugar. You can't stay up here with us angels tweeling your tootsie all day. You gotta go down to that blue-green orb and make your way.
Born on a gunmetal gray day in September 1945, Howard was hurled to earth in a dingy naval hospital in San Leandro, California, while his mother, a secret communist sympathizer, pushed her hardest in the opposite direction.
Ah! Go back! Go back!
Mrs. Gauthenecht!
Go back, Howard. You're gonna hate it out here.
Mrs. Gauthenecht, please! You're delirious! Knock her out, nurse.
Yes, doctor.
And wash that kid up. He looks like he's been swimming in cough syrup.
Yes, doctor.
A shy child from an industrial suburb with a large Christian Science population, Howard spent his early years battling hearing loss and playing hide-and-seek with his friends in the shadow of a Nabisco plant.
98, 99, 100, ready or not, here I come. I said, ready or not, here I come. I said, ready or not, here I come.
Howard's teenage years were filled with the usual acne, existential angst, and pathetic attempts at sexual understanding.
What is that?
You know what it is, Howard.
No, I don't.
Sure you do.
Well, I don't see why everybody calls it a pie. It doesn't look anything like pie.
Eventually, Howard found his high school niche as second clarinetist in the marching band and senior class treasurer, where he passed out piggy banks that pooped pennies as part of his campaign.
Vote for Howard Gauthenecht! Vote for Howard Gauthenecht! You'll save in the end!
He went on to study business at UC Berkeley in the late 1960s, where he missed the summer of love completely, selling hot dogs in Santa Cruz, and spent his last 2 years barricaded in the office of his favorite economics professor to avoid being swept into the growing student protests.
Ho, ho, Ho Chi Minh! Vietnam is going to win!
Protest, schmottes! They are a perfect example of Keynesian dynamics. Look at the t-shirts they are selling, the rolling papers. Look at the rising price of sage.
Keynesian dynamics.
I tell you, Howard, where there is tumult, there is money to be made. Industrial contracts, yeah? Do you hear me, Herr Gauthenecht?
Yes, Professor, I think so. Basically, it's your supposition that chaos equals cash, correct?
Boom-da-da! You get an A!
Yippee!
Howard married Kitty Boombottom, a bubbly young Nixon supporter and minor kleptomaniac, in 1971. After honeymooning on the Long Beach Peninsula, where he and Kitty drank double daiquiris by a peanut-shaped pool and toured the local aquarium, Howard went to work for IBM in Houston, Texas, and settled in for the long haul.
Well, this is it, Kitty.
What's it, Howard?
This is it. We're settling in for the long haul.
We are?
Absolutely.
Well, in that case, Howard, I'll need an in-home vacuum cleaner and a trash compactor.
Over the years, Howard and Kitty had two healthy children, a girl and a boy, and then one that was stillborn, which they once tried to talk about after dinner as they watched the evening news, but just couldn't quite do it.
Three people were killed in a horrible gardening accident today.
Howard?
Yes?
Do you ever...
What?
I can't seem to feel my feet.
They're right there, Kitty.
I know. I just can't seem to feel them anymore. You know what I mean?
Let me rub them a little.
No, Howard.
Just a little.
No, it's not about my feet.
I thought you just
said... Well, it's not!
Oh.
Never mind. Oh, that's Nancy Reagan with little Patty. Turn it up.
Just say no.
The following year, Kitty was arrested at Neiman Marcus for lifting a turquoise brooch off a deeply tanned mannequin. The charges were discreetly dropped, and she was referred to a psychiatrist who put her on a series of little pink pills.
I do so love my little pink pills.
I don't know, Kitty.
Oh, shut up, Howard. They're a modern miracle. Ask Dr. Labutsky. He'll tell you exactly what a miracle they are.
Aside from a sudden and intense interest in Civil War reenactments, Howard took to swimming as his main hobby and release from the unspoken pressures he felt building. Back and forth in long, deliberate strokes, he would swim across the pool, allowing his mind to float beyond the office and his output issues and the orthodontist bills to a place he felt he knew extremely well, yet had never actually been, one that was slightly erotic.
Howard, Howard, let me give you a salt rub, baby.
Wow. Who are you? Where is this place?
Nowhere in Texas, sugar.
Bye-bye.
Hey, wait, come back! Darn.
On April 30th, 1988, 13 years after the fall of Saigon, still pondering the point to a salt rub, Howard stayed late at the office and had the only intimate dalliance of his entire life with a marketing intern named Mindy under a conference table.
Okay, now, turn over. That's right. Watch your arm.
You mean turn all the way over?
Yeah, we're gonna do it the other way now.
The other way?
Come on, Howard, get with the program. Blasting off. We're finding meaning in the physical.
Ow! Ow! My leg!
That's right, sport. There you go. Gum.
Howard came home from this night of contortion, drained and exhausted. He took a shower and then another one and went to sleep on the sofa, which Kitty noted and registered as a slight chip in her heart. But due to the little blue pills she was now taking to bring her down from the little pink pills, she was unable to recognize the feeling for what it actually was.
Howard? Honey?
Yes?
What are you doing on the sofa? There's no plastic on there. Your body oil's gonna affect the sheen. Come back to bed.
Oh, okay.
Having crossed the thin red line of morality, but finding that life stayed basically the same, he still had psoriasis and an impending sense of malaise. Howard never dabbled in the overtly adulterous again and settled back into his long haul. Their children grew up, moved on, and eventually sued him for excess college expenses in the spring of '03. 2 years later, on a whim, he and Kitty purchased an electric golf cart, which Howard, decked out in his Confederate uniform, would ram with unnecessary speed through enemy lines at reenactments.
No! Howard, stop! You almost hit that Union soldier!
Yeah! General Grant sucks eggs!
What is the matter with you?
I don't know, Kitty! I just feel like sticking it to the man!
What man? Howard, slow down!
Yeah! Kitty? Kitty, are you all right?
Oh, my God. Don't touch me. Where are my pills?
Kitty.
No, Howard. I don't want to know what this has to do with the deficit. I'm going back to the motel for happy hour.
as Kitty strode angrily across the battlefield at Antietam, nursing a sore arm in her billowy summer pantsuit, Howard had an unusual urge to track her down and mount her. But he abstained and chose instead to savor this fleeting moment of exhilaration as it dawned on him that for the first time in his life, he had willfully destroyed private property.
Wow. I think I just willfully destroyed private property.
Back in Texas, Kitty found solace in her Tea Party Tetris Club, and Howard stared down his twilight years at IBM by joining Facebook and friending the entire Southeast Asian corporate subgroup. Then, 2 weeks before he turned 65 and 4 days after signing up for Medicare, Howard awoke one morning to see fantastic Chinese fireworks in one eye and two ample-bosomed angels swimming through his other. Naked and zoftig, they massaged him gently with their minds while he lay in bed beside the sleeping Kitty.
Howard.
What?
Hello, Howard. It's us again, sweetums.
Kitty. Kitty, wake up. I think...
An overwhelming sense of betrayal and well-being hit Howard hard like the smell of eggplant parmesan. A moment later, a second blood clot slammed into his carotid artery and sent him fully back to his angels.
Oh, it's you.
That's right, Sugar Pie. We're going home.
All right, well, wait a minute. Are you saying that was it?
Yes, Howard, that was it.
Come to Mama's cupcake.
But what about... Oh, yes.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Another irreducible life cycle, registered, recorded, and gone.
Thank you.
Jay Pascal, Rob Whitmer, and Dan Tierney. Little Maple Leaf Rag.
This episode of Sandbox Radio Live was recorded at West of Lennon on June 20th, 2011. It was engineered by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Rob Whitmer. Charles Leggett's poem, Actor's Resume, was first published in the poetry journal Waterways, Volume 26, Number 7, 2005, out of Staten Island, New York. For more information about the Sandbox Artist Collective, visit thesandboxac.org.